Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and this is our Super Bowl edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Simon Clancy is here. Chris Kaufman is not here. He's on assignment. He's gallivanting about the country looking for interior offensive linemen for the Miami Dolphins. Do you have anywhere where you recommend he should go first, Simon?
Yeah, UConn. Yes. Going for Christian Haynes.
Yes. That guy's a player. That guy's a player. If they took him at 21, it's not sexy to take a guard at 21. But if they took him at 21, I'd be like, okay, I get it.
Yeah, there's some good guards in this draft, actually.
Yeah, no, like interior offensive lineman. They can't miss, which means they won't take one in the entire
draft. Which means they won't take one, absolutely. They'll yes. take Patrick Paul, who needs a complete
overhaul
restructure.
Yeah, he has good counting stats, but people got to understand, because everybody keeps hitting me with, he gave up one sack in 500 snaps. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I understand that. Watch pass pro in college, okay, and then watch it in the NFL. It's different.
But also the pure NFL pass sets that he did, I think he ran about 18 of them. Yeah. I tell you, this receiver class is insane, by the way.
Yes. No, it's a good class. I keep looking at it. I'm like, you can't miss here. You need more picks. I keep coming back to, you know what? If they could get something for Christian Wilkins in day two, it'll go a long way. And yes, we're saying our goodbyes already. Unfortunately.
It is so deep, though.
Yes, it is. As always, this show is brought to you by DietSmoke.com for your THC, shroom, and CBD products. Go to DietSmoke.com and use the promo code WADDLE, as in Jalen Waddle. Yes, Waddle. And you get 50% off any one order and of any one item. And of course, BetterEdge.com. Go to BetterEdge.com/5Reasons. And you get $20 just for signing up. And then look for our contest there. We have a Super Bowl contest. 5RSN has a Super Bowl contest. I am in that pool, so you get to beat me and take my money if you could pick 7 props better than I can. Okay. Among those props are things like the Super Bowl MVP, and we could all pick the same one, but you know, you get you start by a process of elimination, whoever gets the most correct wins. By the way, I picked one really ridiculous prop that's paying a ton, and that's why it's paying a ton, because I think that there's a scenario where this happens. I picked Nick Bosa to win Super Bowl MVP.
Interesting.
Because I think that there's a scenario where he has 3 sacks and it's a low scoring game, and then everybody's just left around looking at, you know, not great quarterback play, no standout stars, and they say, you know what, the guy that got the 3 sacks is the MVP. You know? But we'll start here. The Kansas City Chiefs, Simon, they're back again. 2 years removed from trading Tyreek Hill, and they're back in the Super Bowl both years. 6 weeks ago, everybody left this team for dead. This offense legitimately is lesser than it has been in the past. It's averaging a full touchdown less than it has in the Mahomes era. But that defense is spectacular. 6 weeks ago, they lost to the Raiders at home. And I could take you back to what everybody was saying on TV. Everybody was saying, well, they just blew the 1 seed. And they probably blew the 2 seed. And they're probably going to get busted down to the 3 seed. It didn't matter. They're here once again. How did that happen, Simon?
How did it happen? I mean, Patrick Mahomes is certainly one reason. The defense is another reason, and Steve Spagnuolo. But I also think that they sort of did a classic kind of Belichickian move, which was, you know, get their way through the regular season, win the division, get into the playoffs, get as high a seed as possible. And then I think they really changed up what they were doing in the postseason in terms of, you know, they've gone to much more heavier sets in the postseason than they did in the regular season. They've thrived with 13 personnel groupings. They've absolutely feasted, tripled their usage of 13 personnel during the playoffs. They used it about 70% of the time during the regular season, 20% during the playoffs. And they're succeeding almost 50% of their plays out of 13 personnel. And they use 12 personnel as well, more than usual. So it's, you know, two tight ends on almost 50% of their snap, or two tight ends or more on 50% of their snaps this postseason. And I just think, you know, more big bodies on the field, there's more heft when they want to run the football. And they've gone away even more so in the playoffs from that sort of RPO-y kind of style of offense that certainly they had with Tyreek, but even in the, you know, in the regular season. And they've been thriving on play action down the field, and their receivers have begun to kind of find their feet, notably Rashee Rice, who's, you know, got better and better as the season has gone on, and has become a really important factor. And, you know, Kelsey's back to finding dead areas in the zones, and he's played really well the second half of the season. And, you know, they're just a good team. They're just a well-coached team. You know, look at the offensive side of the ball. You look at defense. You look at Dave Taub on special teams coach. They're just really well-coached the whole way around. They don't make big mistakes in the playoffs. You know, you don't see the Chiefs players doing what Zay Flowers did, for example, in Baltimore. You know, and it's just, you know, you look at Mahomes' numbers in the postseason, they're insane. They're absolutely insane. And, you know, when you've got a guy like that, then, you know, he's just such an incredible difference maker.
Absolutely. And, man, it really does look sometimes like they just tell him, hey, go get us some offense and our defense will hold it down over here. And that's pretty much what they did. And toward the end of the season, Rashee Rice just developed into such a great player. You know, it used to be just a bunch of bums and Travis Kelce. Not anymore. Is the formula to just put the ball up 45 times with Mahomes because he's so efficient with it in this game?
No, I don't think so. I think, what's interesting is the 49ers play 12 personnel as well as any team in the league. And actually, they played its base defense about 40% of the time when it saw two tight end sets. They played their base. I think that was in the playoffs. I think they played their base more than 83% of the time against 12 personnel in the regular season. No team played its base more often against those sets. So I think it's a fascinating matchup. I don't think you can do that. I mean, as good as Mahomes is, I don't think you can do that, in part because, you know, Pacheco is such an important part of the game. What I would expect them to do is target Oren Burks when he comes in as the third linebacker. You know, you don't want to try and run towards Fred Warner. You don't want to run towards Dre Greenlaw. You obviously want to watch the, you know, they're so good and adept in coverage. But, you know, Hufanga out with a torn ACL, so I would, you know, target Tashaun Gibson. I would target Oren Burks. You know, and then, you know, Logan Ryan is playing as well. So I think there are people on that defense to certainly target, but I would be, you know, I'd make sure that I'd be in 12 and 13 personnel. I'd have, you know, Noah Gray and Blake Bell and Kelsey, and I would run. I think there'll be some heavy run early on, and then I think they'll start to work the play action game with Kelsey, with Rashee Rice. You know, they like to get Rashee Rice the ball in sort of, you know, because he's so good with yards after the catch. Just get him on little angle routes, just little underneath, bubble screens, those sorts of things. And that's how effective he can be. So I don't think Patrick will drop back and throw 35, 40. He may well do. But I'm not sure that's a recipe for success, especially against the 49er defense, which has kind of gone off the boil a little bit in the second half of the season. So, yeah, I suspect the big stars will have big games, but it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, Rashee Rice has 10 catches for 150 yards or whatever. I just think they'll feed him quite a lot.
Yeah, last thing before we go to break, we gotta mention this Kansas City Chiefs defense. We just spent about 11 minutes on the offense, and we didn't mention the personnel group that actually got them to the Super Bowl, because it's essentially Patrick Mahomes in a defense is what got here. With a little sprinkling in of Rashee Rice, some running from Isaiah Pacheco and Travis Kelce's brilliance in the playoffs. But this defense, and I was watching something about Steve Spagnuolo. He was doing a chalk talk on NFL.com that I found eminently compelling. He was talking about when you're calling a game against the quarterback, you got to decide whether you want to take away, you know, what routes you want to take away and what you have to give up, because sometimes you just have to give something up. And he says he always found it that it was easier against the better quarterbacks or the less balanced offenses, the guys that were going to put the ball up more, to give up the flat because they're not as disciplined to take it. Now, he said, the opposite of that is to not give up the flat and play five across, play two deep, which is what he mostly does, and make it an emphasis to take away the flat. If you watch the 49ers, like, that has to be the game plan for Kansas City, which means they could be vulnerable deep. Do you agree?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think it'd be fascinating to see how the Chiefs line up on defense and what they do, and who will be healthy at that linebacker core, you know, because, you know, Leo Chanel likes to come downhill as a run defender, but Willie Gay's obviously struggled with a neck injury. I think their best three is Nick Bolton, is Drew Tranquil, and is Willie Gay, but they haven't been on the seat on the field for a single snap as a threesome all season. So again, if I'm Kyle Shanahan and I see Chanel there, especially in, you know, try and get him matched up with a George Kittle, try and get him in passing situations, that to me is huge. I think the game will be won and lost in terms of how the 49ers can work L'Jarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie. And that to me is the fascinating sort of game within the game. Will Sneed follow Deebo Samuel, who's not 100%? The 49ers love to get Deebo moving around on those, you know, orbit motions and, you know, into the slot. So if that's the case, then Trent McDuffie will go with him. McDuffie, obviously an all-pro slot corner, one of the best in the league. Sneed, top three, top five corner in the league. So that'll be fascinating to see who wins that battle. Ayuk's had a great couple of seasons, he's a really good player. And then where does Kittle end up in terms of who covers George Kittle? Do they have a player that can cover Kittle down the field? That to me is the fascinating thing. Can they get pressure against Trent Williams? Unlikely, but can they get pressure on the other side? I think that's more likely. How can they knock Brock Purdy out of his routine, out of his, you know, how can they get him? I mean, Purdy makes plays off platform, but can they rattle him early? Can they get him off platform? And how do you shut down Christian McCaffrey? You know, with the same kind of mentality that we talked about with the Chiefs and getting Pacheco the ball, if the 49ers can get McCaffrey running early and picking up big chunk yardage, it's going to be difficult for the Chiefs to slow him down. But I'm fascinated with the game within the game in terms of just who covers who. You know, Justin Reed's going to have a big game against Kittle, I suspect. Good tackler as well. So, you know, Reed goes against Kelce every day in practice. So he knows what it's like to go up against a Hall of Fame tight end. And make no mistake, you know, George Kittle is a Hall of Fame tight end. So it'll be, that'll be fascinating to watch. And obviously Spagnuolo's been there, done it before, won Super Bowls. You know, you go back to the great Super Bowls that he won with Strahan and OCU Manure at defensive end when he beat the Patriots and stuff, you know. The reason they were in that game was because of Steve Spagnuolo's defense, and especially in the absolute critical moments down the stretch, he just seems to manage to get all those calls absolutely perfectly. So, yeah, I can't wait. I think it'll be really interesting.
All right, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the NFC champion, San Francisco 49ers. But first, these words.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim?
Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business? Are you having trouble locating a 5-star rated general contractor that is fully licensed, certified, and insured? If the answer is yes, then Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, Jorge, and their team is prepared to handle any size property damage disaster. When an unexpected damage occurs to your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. Their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed general contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that business homeowners and business owners require. Water Cleanup of Florida is now an authorized dealer of Eurocraft cabinets, so premier kitchen, bath, and laundry cabinetry, countertops, and other accessories are available for your viewing at their showroom in Boca Raton. Or, do you prefer to shop from your home or office? Then Water Cleanup will send you one of our design specialists to you with samples and products that fit your style and budget. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone if you have any questions at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at wcufl.com. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And please check out their more than 80 5-star reviews on Google and Facebook. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
All right, we're back. All right, the 49ers, it was a strange, you know, it was a strange season. And to say that at some point at midseason, everybody thought it was like a foregone conclusion. Look, the 49ers are going to get to the Super Bowl. Then they lose 3 in a row. They don't look all that great down the stretch. The playoffs begin, and they still don't look all that great. Chris Kaufman made a great point. He likes to look at the team that's actually playing well into the Super Bowl, headed into the Super Bowl. 49ers are here. They're the clear-cut, in my opinion, best team in the NFC, considering that the Eagles completely fell apart. Dallas did another Dallas thing. And, you know, Green Bay, not yet. Detroit, not yet. It's their time. They're the best team. You agree with Chris Kaufman? Because I tend to agree with him, too. They're not playing all that great headed into the Super Bowl.
They're not playing all that great. But what they have done, especially in those last two games against Green Bay and against Detroit, is win when they shouldn't have won. And let's be realistic. Let's be honest. They should have lost to Green Bay, mm-hmm. and they absolutely should have lost to Detroit. And the fact that they were able to come back and grind out those wins, you know, they came back from two pretty hefty deficits, 10 points against Green Bay, and then, what was it, 24 points to the Lions they were down?
Yes.
21 points to the Lions they were down?
Yeah, something like that.
They're big scores. And they ground it out, and they came back and won the game. And I just think they have an awful lot of talent. And I think, you know, Kyle Shanahan, there have been some big game issues in the past. But I just think that, you know, how can he get Brock Purdy going? Because you look at the success the Chiefs had against a very Brock Purdy-like quarterback in our own quarterback, Tua, in terms of what he does. And, you know, Purdy has his own superpowers that are very similar to Tua's. How did the Chiefs knock Tua off rhythm, and can they do the same to Brock Purdy? You know, you look at, for example, you know, some of the things that you'd expect Spags to do to try and knock him off is, you know, especially the processing, you know. Mm-hmm. They did a lot of kind of single high coverage before the snap, they're switching to two high looks against the Dolphins, and it worked. And, you know, but timing and rotations are very, very important, and it's what Spags does so well, you know. Can he, you know, Spags doesn't blitz for blitzing's sake, and that's not going to stop Purdy. You know, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league against the blitz. I think 85% quarterback rating against free runners in the league, when the average mark is 44%, I think I saw earlier on, which is, you know, which is fantastic. Shanahan loves to go out of empty backfields, you know, so gives Purdy quicker identification on mismatches, quicker reads, quicker processing, which he's already very good at. 49ers are the best team in the league in terms of quarterback rating out of empty sets. So it's, again, it's the kind of the battle within the battle. The Chiefs are eighth in the league defending empty sets. Tempo Kyle Shanahan likes to play with tempo sometimes, which doesn't allow defenses to bring in replacements. And obviously, tempo then simplifies defenses because it essentially will prevent Spagnuolo from sort of dialing up exotic kind of pressures and those sorts of things. Now, they didn't run that many no-huddle snaps in the regular season, the fewest in the league. But they run more in the playoffs, especially in those games where they were struggling coming from behind. And although he's resisted the urge to play overly fast, I think I wouldn't be surprised if I saw Kyle Shanahan run a bit of hurry up just to, especially if the Chiefs' defense has penetration and, you know, gets the 49ers to punt on the first couple of drives. Just wouldn't surprise you just to see him mixing up a bit. I think you'll find early on you'll get some quick hitters, you'll get Brock making some fairly simple reads, some screens, some bubble screens, just to calm him down. I mean, not that he's ever shirked the big moment, but just to, you know, manufacture some completions just so they can, do you know what I mean? I just think just to ease him into the game, because what you don't want is a start where he throws a pick on the first drive or a pick on the second drive, and then the pressure's really on. So I think there'll be a heavy mix of some screens, some Kittle underneath, some McCaffrey running the ball. I don't suspect you'll see a lot of those, you know, high risk, high reward throws that he is so adept at making, middle of the field, dagger concepts, those sorts of things. I don't think you'll see them early on. I certainly wouldn't expect Shanahan to put the pressure on him that much. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, Purdy is absolutely fearless, and nothing seems to faze him in terms of, you know, the level that he plays at. And this is a guy that's been to Michigan and played. This is a guy that's been to, you know, big colleges, big stadiums, and played when he was at Iowa State, and he's never shirked the moment. So, I think it'll be fascinating. I do think Spags will try and confuse him with a lot of post-snap coverage changes, but there's so much talent on that 49ers offense when you throw in Ayuk and McCaffrey and Juszczyk and Kittle and, you know, Debo, et cetera, Juwan Jennings. I think it's just such a, it's so finely balanced. And I totally get Chris's point about the Chiefs coming in with a hot hand, but I'm happy to ride the team that has sneaked out victories where from the, you know, stolen victories from the jaws of defeat and comes into this playoff, into this Super Bowl, you know, knowing that if it gets down, it's got the mentality and the toughness to come back.
Yeah. And by the way, everybody was wondering, you know, they're in Las Vegas and how come nobody's actually, you know, gotten into any type of trouble? And I found this kind of funny. The Chiefs are staying at the Westin Lake Las Vegas Resort and Spa. That's in Lake Las Vegas. That's outside in Henderson. The 49ers are staying at the Hilton Lake Las Vegas Resort and Spa. That's also in Lake Las Vegas. That's in also Henderson. That is 30 miles from the strip.
Wow. Yeah. I mean,
So if
I'm
a
old enough
player
to.
wants to raise hell, he's going to have to go out of his way to do it.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember. Who was the fat? Was it Eugene Robinson, the Falcon
Here in
safety, who
Miami, yes.
got into trouble with the prostitute in the week of
It
the
gets
Super Bowl?
better. He won NFL Man of the Year that year.
Yeah, he did. He did.
How
Very
great is
funny.
that?
I know. Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, keeping what? 70 players, 65 players out of trouble in the heart of Las Vegas is probably not easy, even in Super Bowl week. So I can understand why they're 30 miles out. So, you know,
Yes.
the
Yeah, they're pretty.
temptation.
Yeah, it was interesting that a Chiefs player actually got bit by a coyote, and that's the only story
Like you
that
do.
got released. I don't know who the hell it was that actually got bit by a coyote, but he got bit by a coyote. Kyle Shanahan, this is, you know, I despise legacy talk, especially when the guy is probably 15 years away from retiring or something like that. Okay, like he has plenty of time to make a legacy, but he's been a part of two tragic Super Bowl losses.
Yeah.
Okay, we all know about 28-3, but nobody mentions 20-10. That must—I don't know what that must feel like because, unfortunately, our team has not given us that. The two Super Bowls I saw them play, they were ahead for most of the game against the Washington football team, and then they fell apart in the fourth quarter. And then they pretty much got blown out by the 49ers starting in the second quarter. But they had a 20-10 lead here in Miami. And the Chiefs looked absolutely hopeless. They couldn't find Tyreek Hill. Travis Kelce was not getting anything done. Patrick Mahomes looked like a mere mortal. And Nick Bosa could not be blocked. All of that changed. Kyle Shanahan, he has to be feeling the pressure in this game. And this has to be some kind of legacy game, because the whispers are going to start if something bad happens to him again in this Super Bowl. They're going to say there's something wrong with him or his system that just can't get it done, can't finish these games. Yeah. Right?
He's such a genius. He really is, you know, and he's been around football. He's an absolute football lifer. And if you listen to the Playmakers podcast, which is absolutely fascinating, he's so interesting in that and how much respect he garners from McDaniel, from McVay, from Matt LaFleur, you know, as the kind of the architect of the modern Shanahan offense, the modern offense of his father, you know, growing up in that absolute environment of just football, football, football the whole time. I think the interesting thing for him is that he has struggled at times in massive moments in big games with a conservatism that hasn't manifested during the season. Mm. And that's not just this year, that's historical. You know, you go back and look in post seasons where, I mean, he's gone for it, where next gen, I think I read earlier, next gen stats said that on the, and you know, you take all these stats with a pinch of salt, especially over, you know, fourth downs and should you go, should you not. But he's gone for it once in nine situations in which next gen essentially thought he should have gone for it, which is, you know, one of nine is a pretty thin line in terms of, you know, and you kind of lose advantages in critical games by making conservative decisions. And for all the criticism that Dan Campbell came under, you know, I admire the fact that he did try to win the game. You know, I would have kicked the field goal on the first one, and Josh Reynolds had the drop, and you know, that's not on Dan Campbell. You know, if that's converted, the Lions almost certainly win the game. And you know, but then if the field goal, you know, it's converted, the Lions probably win the game anyway, you know. So it's a difficult one. But you go back to the 2021 NFC Championship game. Do you remember he had fourth and two on the LA side of the field in the fourth quarter and punted? And you just think, you know, put the game away. You know, you go back to the end of the first half of the Super Bowl when the Chiefs played the 49ers a couple of years ago. You know, they had, you know, inside 2 minutes, but they had timeouts. First down, second down were run plays. You know, they ran off like, the Chiefs then called a timeout with like 20 seconds to go, and then Shanahan all of a sudden decided, oh, maybe I could still score. You know, gets a completion down the field, then has that really iffy, do you remember the iffy sort of offensive pass interference against Kittle, which would have put them in scoring range. And they go in at halftime 10-10, when actually it could have been 17-10 or even 13-10 if he hadn't been quite so conservative. So for me, it'll be interesting to see if he has a bit more control over 2 minute situations, but also just eradicates just a little bit of that conservatism that I think has just overshadowed how good he is as a coach. You know, it's a tough one to call. It really is a tough one to call. I think it's going to be an absolutely fascinating game.
All right. Last thing, because we kind of know what the 49ers have to do, and we talked about it in the first half of this preview. What they have to do on offense, they pretty much got to be balanced. But on defense, there was an excellent piece on The Ringer. I forgot who wrote it. But he was talking about the route combination that's absolutely destroyed the 49ers in the playoffs. First, the Packers got them, and then Detroit really put an emphasis on it. They changed that up in the last and. In the fourth quarter of that game against Detroit by playing a lot more man. Now, San Francisco likes to play a lot of zone, but that sail dagger concept, oddly enough, is Kansas City's bread and butter. It's been a problem. And all it really is putting linebackers and safeties into conflict, and you're just throwing away from the linebackers. It's as simple as that. You're picking on the intermediate zone that cornerbacks and safeties have to occupy. Has 2 weeks been enough to solve this? Because if it's not, you're facing Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. they could just sail and dagger you to death.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I do like the 49ers defenders, and I know that they haven't been, you know, the defense hasn't been great since Christmas, really. And overall, actually, as a team, they've been pretty inconsistent on both sides of the ball since Christmas. But, you know, Fred Warner is such a good player. He's such a dominant, you know, there is not a player in the NFL as good as Fred Warner. And if any defender or defenders can match, you know, against Mahomes, but also against Kelce, and, you know, how the Chiefs love to attack those zones in the middle of the field, you know, it's Warner. He is by far the best linebacker in the NFL, and I just don't think it's close. He just has a great fundamental feel, just great instincts for where the ball's supposed to go. And I think that, you know, that matchup, especially of Kelce against Warner, will be so good. And I think the Chiefs, the advantage the Chiefs have is that they get to decide, I suppose, where Kelce lines up and where he goes after the snap. And the Lions had success throwing against the 49ers in the middle of the field to Sam LaPorta because, you know, Ben Johnson essentially cycled kind of multiple receivers through the middle and just ran Fred Warner out of plays. You know, I think LaPorta had 9-10 catches, 100 yards, and Goff was really good between the numbers. And he had two major drops between the numbers as well when you talk about the Reynolds, the two Reynolds drops. So, yeah, I mean, it's, again, for the 50th time, it's the game within the game, isn't it? It's Warner against Kelce. It's who can defend that middle portion of the field. What will Andy Reid have picked up about how to manipulate the middle of the field in the same way that Ben Johnson did? You know, Reid is a master at it, and how can he do it? So, and what can the 49ers do to counter it? Because Kyle Shanahan and Steve Wilks will understand that that was a problem. That was a soft tissue area that Detroit kept jabbing, and frankly, Green Bay did the week before as well. So how can they combat that? So again, game within the game, who wins that battle will just make up part of the bigger picture, but it'll be fascinating.
All right, prediction time. Chris Kaufman has the Chiefs 23-17, but he's like, you know, he's in the bag for Patrick Mahomes. So
of course he is.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So you can't really take it into too much account. Man, I've gone back and forth on this game. I just think the 49ers are the better team. And I understand that the Chiefs have a great defense and they have Patrick Mahomes and they have an emerging Rashee Rice. Man, I think the 49ers have to get it done. And I think they will get it done. I'm going to go ahead and say that the 49ers do get it done. I'll even give you the MVP. And if you want to give us an MVP, that'd be good too, Simon. Cool. I think they get it done and it's 30-27 in a thriller. And I know I said earlier, I kind of like Nick Bosa as, like, you know, one of those shot in the dark MVP candidates, especially if it's close and it's low scoring. But I want to go ahead and say that Christy McCaffrey wins the MVP with like 160 yards of total offense from scrimmage, a couple of touchdowns. He wins MVP 30-27, 49ers. What say you, Simon?
Yeah, I was going to pick exactly the same score to the 49ers. And I think actually what would be really interesting, it would be great if Brock Purdy was fantastic and won the game and won the MVP, because in many respects, it would be a moratorium on quarterbacks like Brock Purdy, quarterbacks like Tua, and you can put them in the same category because they're very, very similar in terms of answering some of those questions about, you know, game managers versus the aliens. We all know that, you know, Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, you know, and Lamar, we live in an era where these guys can make incredible plays off platform, off script. They can use their legs. They can throw from any arm angle. They can do whatever they can. And then you've got another tier of quarterbacks who aren't as physically gifted, but have their own super strength. But unfortunately, there's a kind of a vibe against them because they're not as athletically gifted. You know, God knows what social media would have thought of Joe Montana back in the 80s. And, you know, so I think as a moratorium on quarterbacks like Tua and like Brock Purdy, it would be amazing if Brock just came out and was absolutely phenomenal, as we know he can be, just accurate, just move the ball. all over the field. I think the worst thing in many respects for, you know, to have a knock-on effect, not trying to bring the Dolphins into it, but to have a knock-on effect to Tua is that Purdy is really average, struggles, gets picked off a lot, and people just say, well, you know, you can't win the big game with guys like Purdy and Tua. And I think, you know, it would be great for the Dolphins if Purdy had a phenomenal game. So I'm going to go 30-27 KC up to the 49ers. I think the 49ers will drive down the field at the end of the game, score a touchdown. I'm going to go George Kittle as MVP, although I think, you know, I'd like it for it to be Purdy.
Yeah, I think that those are good picks. And you can bet all of those things on betteredge.com/5 reasons. If you want to, you know, if you want to talk about the Super Bowl and you want to talk to us, God knows why you would want to do that. But you can go to our Discord, and that's at discord.gg/onlyfans. And you can become a member there for $3 a month. Enjoy the Super Bowl. We will talk to you on Monday to recap it. And to recap essentially the entire season, and that'll be it for season 6 of 3 yards per carry. And then we will begin season 7 a week after that. But till then.
Thanks for listening to 3 yards per carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.